Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker puffed wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And listen, fellas and girls, these winter mornings, if an alarm clock doesn't make you rise and shine, here's the breakfast treat that will. A heaping bowl of crisp, fresh Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice, topped with lots of milk or thick yellow cream and sliced bananas. Yes, for a swell waker-upper, there's nothing like the delicious, nut-like flavor and tender crispness of Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Three men traveled the trail from Skagway to the town of Whitehorse in the Yukon Territory. It was fall in the Yukon, and the threat of snow was in the air. The youngest of the three travelers, Jerry Edmund, finally broke the silence that had prevailed for several miles.
I sure hope we reach Whitehorse before the snow flies, fellas.
We'll make it, Jerry. Don't worry.
Sure. What I'm hoping is that the old lady will put us up at your place and maybe tip us off to a way to get some cash.
Remember, I've never seen my mother, Sid. My old man raised me from the time I was 3 years old.
You said your mother wrote for you to come up here.
Well, yeah, she did, Buck.
How'd you find out where she is?
Well, it was this way. The old man took me into his gang down in Frisco a year ago. Shortly after, the gang was cornered. Paul was killed, and I got 6 months in jail.
Yeah, I remember when you came to the prison.
They gave me Paul's personal stuff. It was a letter. A letter postmarked Whitehorse. And it was from Mom. In it, she told me, Pa, she'd like to see her son, meaning me. I wrote to her and received an answer telling me to come up there when I could, and she'd see to it that I made a living.
She knows you were in prison then?
Yeah, but she said that didn't matter. That she'd married an outlaw, meaning Pa, and that she'd overlook it.
Well, that's the reason you think she's outside the law, too, huh?
Sure. I wrote her that I was bringing two friends with me and that we hoped to make some easy cash. She wrote back and said, come on. So here we are, heading for Whitehorse.
Yeah. Say, just how old are you, Jerry?
21.
You're getting started young. Maybe you'll soon have a big gang of your own.
I'm willing to go along with you a while, Buck. You've had more experience.
Sure I have. Well, if we hurry, I figure we'll reach Whitehorse by supper time. Get up there.
Get up. Come on. Get up there, boy.
Meanwhile, Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police stopped at Mrs. Edmund's rooming house with some mail he'd brought from Dawson.
Oh, Blackie. Oh, boy.
Come along, King.
Well, Sergeant Preston and King, do come in.
Thanks, Mrs. Edmund. I brought some mail for you from Dawson.
Oh, how nice of you, Sergeant. Perhaps there's another letter from my boy, Jerry. No, nothing from Jerry. Oh, well, he said he was heading this way with two friends. I've been expecting them to arrive most any time. Sit down, Sergeant.
Thanks. You mentioned your son once before, Mrs. Edmund, but you didn't tell me much about him. That was the first I knew you had a son.
For years, I hadn't heard about him. You see, Sergeant, when I was 20, I married down in California. The man I married never told me how he made his money. Then when our boy was three, Well, I found out that my husband was the leader of an outlaw gang.
Oh, that must have been a shock.
It was. I felt disgraced and humiliated. I told him to give himself up, and, well, I'd stick by him.
Did he?
No. He asked time to think it over. I told him if he didn't do as I asked, I'd take the boy and leave him.
Well, what happened?
One morning he started for town, taking our little boy Jerry with him. They never came back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For a while I was frantic. I went to the United States Marshal and started a search, but I never found him. And my husband was up here in the Yukon, and finally he sent me the money to come and stay with him, and then Father died a few years ago, and, well, I've stayed on, running my rooming house here in Whitehorse.
I see. You said Jerry was coming here?
Yes. Yes, one of my roomers who came from Frisco brought a newspaper. I read that my husband and his gang had been cornered. My husband was killed. And went on to say that the leader's son, Jerry Edmond, had been sentenced to prison for 6 months. It stated that he received a short sentence because he hadn't participated in any of the robberies, though he had been with the gang a short time.
I understand.
Well, I wrote to Jerry while he was in prison, asking him to come here. I have plenty for both of us.
It'll give Jerry a new start.
That's what I think. I'm sure his father forced him to join that gang. I'm sure Jerry is really honest at heart. Sergeant, I hope no one will ever know.
I'll keep your confidence, Mrs. Edmond.
I knew you would. That's why I told you. I did want somebody to know. Somebody who might help me lead Jerry into a decent life.
Of course, I'll do all I can. Well, King, let's get along to the constable's office. We have work to do.
That evening, around supper time, Mrs. Edmond answered a knock at the door.
Howdy, ma'am. I'm looking for Mrs. Edmond.
Hi, Mrs. Edmond. What is it you're... Jerry. You must be Jerry.
That's right, ma'am. I'm Jerry Edmond.
Oh, Jerry, my boy. Come in where I can get a good look at you.
All right.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'd know you anyplace. Oh, Jerry, I've waited so long for this minute.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I reckon so. Oh, these are my friends, Buck and Sid.
Hello, ma'am.
How do you do? Your friends are mine, Jerry. Here's the sitting room. Now, you make yourselves comfortable.
Yes.
Quite a layout you have here, ma'am.
Yeah, sure is. Nothing here to make anybody suspect anything.
Suspect anything? Oh, you mean about Jerry, I suppose. Well, we'll forget the past.
I reckon from what I learned from Pa, you're mighty good at forgetting, Mom.
Jerry, I don't understand what you mean.
Why, it doesn't matter now, does it?
No. No, it doesn't matter. Right now, I'm too happy to talk about the years that are gone. I'd look forward to the day when you'd come home.
We don't intend to sit around, though, Mom. We have to find a way to get some cash.
Yeah, that's right, Jerry.
There's plenty in the bank, Jerry, so don't worry about that. Now, I'll get supper for all of you. Then tomorrow we'll talk over our plans.
Oh, no. No, ma'am, don't bother. We want to look the town over, so we'll amble down the street and get something to eat at the cafe.
Yeah, no use putting you to trouble. Hey, coming, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Mom doesn't mind.
Well, I hoped you'd spend a little more time getting acquainted, but... Well, if you want to see the town with your friends, Jerry, it's all right.
We'll be back later.
Well, of course you will. I have plenty of room to put you up here. I'll wait up for you, Jerry.
Oh, no. No need for that, Mom. Anyway, we'll see you later. Let's go, fellas.
As Jerry and his two friends walked down the street, Buck was saying,
Your old lady sure puts on a sweet front, Jerry. Guess she's mighty clever to have that set up and all.
Yeah. If we didn't know better, we'd get the idea that she was just a nice lady making a decent living.
I don't know what to think yet. Pa told me she ran off with one of his gang when I was 3. And that he heard she was the brains of an outlaw gang someplace.
Now, she must have brains to put up a front like that. But if she does have a gang up here, we wouldn't get much of a cut from anything they grabbed, even if we helped them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Did you hear what she said about there being plenty in the bank? I figure she and the gang are planning to pull a robbery there soon.
Yeah.
Well, what's stopping us? Why share it with others? We could pull that bank robbery and skip out with the cash instead of staying on here.
No, I'd rather wait and find out more.
Don't be a sap, Jerry.
Grab the cash and head back to Skagway tonight.
Well,
look,
I...
you and Sid go into the cafe and sit near the window. I notice the bank is almost opposite. I'll look over the place. When no one's inside, I'll signal you. Then you and Sid join me. We rob the bank, go out the back way.
Wait a minute, Buck. We need our horses. They're alongside the old lady's house. I'll go get them.
Jerry, you wait at the cafe till Sid gets there. Then watch for my signal.
All right.
That's the way to do it. I'll head back and get the horses, then we'll follow Buck's plan.
Jerry Edmund entered the cafe a few moments later and sat alone at a table near the front window. Jerry sat alone for a short time. Then someone approached the table and spoke.
Good evening.
Howdy. Are you, you're a Marty, I reckon, since you're wearing that uniform. I never saw one up to now.
Yes, I'm Sergeant Preston. I noticed you're a stranger in town, so I thought I'd introduce myself. May I join you a moment?
Why, sure. Sit down, Sergeant.
Thanks. You thinking of staking a gold claim? If so, I might be able to tell you the more likely location.
No, I'm not a prospector. I came here to Whitehorse to see someone. I just arrived, as a matter of fact.
Is your name Jerry Edmund, by any chance?
Well, yeah. Yeah, but how did you know?
Well, I knew your mother was expecting you.
Well, how did you know that?
Everyone knows it, Jerry. She's been so excited about having you come home, she's talked of nothing else. Perhaps you don't know it, but your mother, Mrs. Edmund, is known and loved by everybody in town. She's a fine, sweet woman.
She is. Well, I mean, I don't know her very well yet.
No, well, she's very well known. You see, your mother came up here long before the gold rush, 18 years ago to be exact. Her father, your grandfather, was one of the founders of the town. He left her well provided for.
Well, how do you know all that?
I learned the facts from our inspector in Dawson. He knew your grandfather. And the inspector remembers when your mother arrived here. Her husband had deserted her and had taken you with him.
And she's been here ever since?
Of course. She's helped everyone who needed help, and once during an epidemic, she nursed the sick night and day. You're a very lucky young fellow to have such a mother, Jerry. Believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon I am. But I still don't...
You're home now, Jerry, so forget the past, and you'll be very happy here. I'm sure of that. I'll be seeing you often, I hope. Good night, Jerry.
Good night, Sergeant.
After Sergeant Preston left the cafe, Jerry sat with a strange expression on his face. His thoughts raced back to the days with his father and the things that were said about his mother.
Forget your ma, son. She was just a no-good female. Ran off with one of my gang. And I hear she's the brains of a new bunch of outlaws somewhere north of here.
Why, but that can't be true. If she's been here 18 years, like the sergeant said, why, she must have come directly to the Yukon after leaving Pa.
Jerry clenched his hands as he tried to get the facts straight in his mind. A mental picture of the sweet-faced woman who met him at the door of the rooming house flashed before him.
Why, she isn't what Pa said at all. She's sweet and kind, the sergeant said. Home. I never had a decent home. And Ma might... I can't let her down now. If I go through with the robbery...
You're talking to yourself, Jerry.
Oh.
It's something new. I got the horses ready. Buck is looking things over. In a few minutes, he'll be giving us a signal. You know, the old lady will sure get a surprise when she...
Shut up, do you hear? Stop calling her my old lady.
Hey, what's come over you? You must be getting nervous about pulling your first job.
Listen to me, Sid. I don't...
Hey, look. Buck gave us a signal. Come on, Sid. Well, come on.
I'm not going, Sid.
Look, you can't back out on us now. Well, listen, you. This gun in my coat pocket is pointed at you, savvy. I get up and walk out of here with me, or so help me, I'll let you have it. Get moving.
If I had a gun,
yeah, but you haven't. Now walk out nonchalant like. No funny business. Go on.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Here's how Mother can make breakfast a tempting meal that no one in the family wants to skip. Just pour out bowlfuls of delicious, crisp Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice. Top them with milk or cream and sliced peaches or other fruit. Ah, there's no resisting that breakfast treat. Delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. And say, fellas and girls, you can't resist the terrific surprise waiting for you at the end of the program. Listen carefully. Now to continue. A few minutes later, Jerry and Sid joined Buck in the shadows alongside the bank.
There's only one man inside now, the teller. This is our chance. I got my gun ready. So let's go inside and grab that cash. Get moving, Jerry. Go ahead. Watch, Jerry, Sid. I'll get the cash.
All right.
What can I do for you, mister?
Reckon if your eyesight was better, you'd see this gun I'm carrying, mister. Reach in quick!
A hold up. Now, Buck, don't do it. Listen to me a minute. We're clear of the law now, and we can stay with Mom and make a decent living. We might stake a
claim on... Get up, Jimmy. You're in this, whether you like it or not.
That's right, Sid. Keep him quiet. The law will be hunting him as well as us after we grab this cash.
If I had a gun, I'd stop you and turn you over to the Mounties.
Shut up or I'll plug you, Jerry. Hurry up, Buck.
Mister, I'll take that cash you were putting in that sack. Now I'm coming around there a minute.
What are you going to do?
Just this.
Oh!
That'll keep him quiet till we make a getaway. Now bring Jerry and let's get out the back way to the horses. Come on.
A short time later, one of the townsmen hurriedly entered the constable's office, where the constable and Sergeant Preston were going over reports.
Sergeant, constable, there's been trouble at the bank.
What's happened?
Well, I passed the bank a while ago on the way to the store. I saw three men going in the bank. When I came back from the store, past the bank, I glanced in and saw the teller lying on the floor. Another fellow and I went in. He'd been struck on the back of the head and was out cold. The other fellow went for the doctor, and I came here for you.
We'll go right over there now. Come along, King.
At the bank, the Mounties learned from the banker, who had returned from supper, that $5,000 in cash was missing. The teller, still unconscious, was not able to give any information. Police questioned the man who had reported the robbery. Later, the Mounties found the hoof marks outside the back door. They got their horses and then returned with King to pick up the trail. Sergeant Preston pointed to the hoof marks, barely visible on the hard ground. King sniffed a moment and then barked to indicate he knew what was expected of him.
Go on, King. Get him, boy. Get up, lady.
Under the watchful eyes of the two crooks, Jerry rode the south trail with Buck and Sid. He realized that now he could never return to be with his mother in Whitehorse. He remembered the sweet face and eyes brimming with happy tears, as his mother had said.
Jesse, my boy, come in where I can get a good look at you. Oh, yes, I'd know you any place. Oh, Jerry, I've waited so long for this. I'd hope you'd spend a little more
Jerry
time.
Jerry clenched his fists as he thought of how Buck and Sid had snatched away the only happiness he might have known. Suddenly, Buck interrupted his thoughts.
Cheer up, Jerry.
Huh?
In spite of the fact you tried to run out on us, we'll share the loot with you.
Sure, Jerry. That is, if you stop moping and forget the old lady.
I told you not to say that.
Ah, shut up. Let's stop at that shack up ahead long enough to fix a little grub. I have some left in my saddlebag.
Well, that suits me. But I'm warning you, Jerry. I'm getting tired of having to watch all the time.
Forget it. Later on, we'll take his horse and leave him if he still acts up. Get up.
Come on. Get up there. Get up.
Later in the shack, Jerry lay on a bunk, sullenly watching Buck and Sid as they ate the meager food he had refused. Sid's gun was on the table before him, ready for instant action, so Jerry knew he didn't have a chance of getting away from the two crooks whom he had formerly called friends.
No, this is better than nothing, Jerry. You better try some of it.
Keep it. I don't want any.
Yeah, let him starve if he wants to.
Now, look, why not let me go away on my own? You can keep the bank money. I don't want any of it.
This sack here on the table contains $5,000 in cash. Too bad you're passing up your share of it.
We can use it. You know, Jerry's mother is going to wonder why we haven't come back.
Listen, you. You mention it once more.
You'll watch. I'm sick of hearing you yap at me. I've taken all I'm gonna.
You didn't have that gun, Sid. I'd fix you.
This will shut you up.
Hey, what'd you do that for? Now we'll have to wait till he comes to.
No, we don't have to wait. Let's shove on now. Take his horse with us. I'm done with him.
Wait, Spolinoo!
Holy mackerel, a couple of Mounties. Get him!
Hold it! No! My hand!
When he saw the two Mounties in the doorway, Sid had jumped behind the stove, which was between the table and the bunk upon which Jerry lay.
All right, Mounties. You wing buck. But now it's my turn. Drop your guns or I'll let you have it.
Oh.
Preston hesitated. He saw the glint of Sid's gun over the top of the stove and realized the protected gunman had a good chance to shoot both him and the constable. And then he noticed the figure on the bunk move. Jerry, coming to and taking in the situation, suddenly lunged out with his foot and shoved Sid from behind.
Drop your gun, Sid!
Ow!
The crook fell against the red-hot stove. With a cry of pain, dropped his gun to the floor.
I'll get his gun.
Wait, Joe.
No, Constable. It's Jerry Edmund.
He picked up a gun.
Here's the gun, Sergeant.
Thanks, Jerry. King, watch those crooks.
Here's the other gun.
Jerry, you fool, they'll take you as well as us.
Sergeant, they forced me to take part in that robbery. I didn't have a gun and couldn't help myself.
That's a lie. You even helped plan it.
That's right. You were going to get your share of the cash, too.
Sergeant, believe me, they're the ones who are lying. After you talked to me about Mom, I realized a lot. I thought up to then that she'd deserted Pa and me. That made me bitter. But now that I know the truth, I want to be with Mom and live a straight life.
Sergeant, there's the bank sack containing the stolen cash.
Good. We arrest all of you in the name of the Crown. Jerry, the fact that you helped us is in your favor.
But honest, Sergeant, I didn't take part in that robbery.
We'll check, Jerry, and try to learn the truth. If what you say is true, you'll be in the clear. Let's bandage their wounds and get these men back to town, Constable.
Later, Sergeant Preston and Jerry, with King, stood at the door of Mrs. Edmund's house in Whitehorse.
She's still up, Jerry. The lights are on.
Sergeant Preston, Jerry! Oh, Jerry, I've been so worried. Is everything all right?
Jerry's come home to stay, Mrs. Edmund. May we come in?
Oh, yes, of course. It got so late, and you didn't come back with your friends, Jerry. I thought, well, maybe you didn't like it here.
Oh, gosh, Mom, I love it here. I never want to leave.
I didn't think I could be so happy, Jerry. I just think, Sergeant, Jerry's come home.
Yes, I'm sure you'll both be happy from now on.
But your two friends, Jerry, where are they?
Briefly, Sergeant Preston told Mrs. Edmund what had happened and the part Jerry had played in helping the Mounties. Jerry's mother listened in silence and then spoke softly.
I was afraid, son, when I saw them with you. Afraid of what your father had done to you. But I'll never be afraid again. You proved to be the son I hoped you'd be.
Thanks, Mom. And you're the kind of mom I used to dream about. But if the sergeant hadn't talked to me, I don't know what would
happen. Kind Providence sent him to you at the right time, Jerry.
The teller at the bank cleared Jerry fully. He said Jerry even tried to stop the holdup at the bank, but the others forced him to go through with it.
We have a lot to be thankful for, son, including friends like Sergeant Preston and his fine dog, King.
Hey, look, King is licking my hand.
That means he knows you're all right, Jerry. You're glad, too, that Jerry's come home, aren't you, King? I think he's trying to say he's also glad this case is closed.
We'll return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. But first, here is Sergeant Preston.
And now, boys and girls, here comes our old friend Gabby Hayes and a couple of young friends. Listen carefully, because he has a big surprise for you.
Hey, Gabby, wherever did you get a hat like yours?
Gosh, it's really different.
Bet nobody else ever had a hat like yours, Gabby.
Boy, I'd like to have a hat like that.
Simmer down, simmer down. I got news for you. Shucks, I bet a million people have asked me about this hat of mine. They keep saying, where in the world did you get that hat? Of course, there ain't no other hat like it in the whole world. No, sir. So you know what I've done? I've had some hats like mine made up special for my friends.
Oh, good. Hooray.
Are we lucky?
Yes, sirree, Bob. This is a chance for all you buckaroos listening in and all my friends to get a hat like old Gabby's. Like the one I always wear in my Western movies and on my televisionary programs. You're darn tootin'. It's a spittin' image of my hat. But listen here. You better hurry. I only had a certain number of these hats made, you know, and it's fuss come, fuss serve. So get going.
Yes, fellas and girls, there isn't any other hat in the whole world like Gabby Hayes' prospector's hat. It has that same jagged look to the brim, that same jaunty angle straight up from your forehead, a cord under your chin with a hitch to hold it tight. And listen, this Gabby Hayes prospector's hat isn't paper or flimsy stuff. It's made of real good quality soft wool felt. And I mean 100% wool felt. Why, you might think this hat would cost $2 or $3, but it's yours for only 75 cents and one box top from a package of delicious Quaker Puffed wheat or Quaker Puffed rice. If you don't think this hat is worth every penny you paid, return it and we will gladly refund your money plus postage. Imagine a real hat of soft 100% wool felt for only 75 cents in coin. Think of what a wonderful Christmas present this hat will be for you and for your special friends. It comes in 3 sizes to fit every boy and girl. Now, I'll bet you don't know your head size. Well, just for fun, first take a guess, and then see how close you are. All you do is put a tape measure or a strip of paper around your head at the forehead. Now, go ahead and do it right now. And then make a note of the exact number of inches, even to an eighth of an inch, and send this measurement with your order. We'll send you the size closest to your measurement. Remember, send your name and address with 75 cents in coin and one box top from a package of swell-tasting Quaker Puffed rice or Quaker Puffed wheat. Send to Hat, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now don't wait, send now tonight. And Gabby will see that you get a Gabby Hayes prospector's hat just like his. Send to Hat, H-A-T, Hat, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. And don't forget your measurement. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, you're to go to Charlie Carraway's mine.
Is Carraway in trouble, sir?
Trouble? He's been buried under tons of rock in one of his own tunnels by a mysterious blast. It'll take weeks to reach the body. Your job is to find out who set the blast.
Well, Charlie may have set it himself, sir. He may have been trapped before he could get clear.
Perhaps. The Carraway mine is one of the richest in the Yukon. I want you to make a thorough investigation of the circumstances that surround the death.
Very well, sir.
A 12-year-old boy is the only one who knows that 3 men set the blast to kill Charlie Carraway. But the killers may get away with the murder, for they plan to kill the boy before he can incriminate them. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has wheat and rice shot from guns. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten, a regular cereal pantry. 6 different delicious, ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh, individual servings. At breakfast, you can take your pick of the pack. Have your own separate, individual package. Enjoy a different cereal, extra fresh, every morning. Just remember, only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family's cereal favorites. Try Quaker Pak-O-Ten. You'll be glad you did. Listen tomorrow at the same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.